Ryan Rashog joins us. And Shogger, no Kadri, no Kane. Obviously, a big loss for both teams. The only benefit for the Oilers, if they win tonight, that Kane will return, whereas Kadri is out for the series.
Yeah, for sure. If. That's a big if. It's going to be a tough test. I was thinking today, like, which do you think is the bigger loss for which team? Kadri was unreal for them in game two. Kane obviously has been scoring lots of goals. Pretty big loss for Colorado, though, man. They've got always tough to lose a center as well. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, man, they were close last game, and the Avs are banged up. But the Oilers are hurting in their lineup, too. So I don't really know which way to call this one tonight. I'm not sure what to expect. Last time McDavid faced elimination, he went nuts. So maybe it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, well, it's very possible. You're right. The Oilers faced elimination game 6 and 7, and that was two of their best games. Now it's the LA Kings, not the Colorado Avalanche, so a little bit different of a situation. No Evander Kane tonight. But sounds like Dylan Holloway will come in. I have tempered expectations. He's a raw rookie in his first NHL game, an elimination game. Where do you think he starts the game? Not where he ends. Where do you think he starts the game?
I don't know. I mean, my gut is Woodcroft will be conservative and just throw him on a fourth line, as an extra. That's my gut on what Woodcroft will do. I don't think that's what they should do. I mean, I think if you're going to put him in, and his hair is going to be on fire anyway, throw him in. He's a skilled player. The last playoff game he played, and it was in the American League, but he had a goal and two goals and an assist and 9 shots on net. The first games they put him in the American League, his first pro games, he was really, really good. And then his play tailed off a little bit 2-3 games in. Well, this is a guy who he's going to be some kind of wound up, has the speed to affect this game. I wouldn't throw him in as a fourth line extra. I'd give him a line. I'd throw him on a line with like Nugent Hopkins and Hyman or something like that. Just give him some good veterans to play around him. Let him just get the motor going, get in on the forecheck. He's an excellent forechecking forward. Really good at turning pucks over. He's tenacious. I'd give him a spot. They don't have top 6 skill in the lineup tonight as much as they normally do. So I would put him in that spot and see what happens.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Without Yamamoto, without Kane, they've got 4 guys who are top 6 right now. Now, Puljujarvi's played top 6, of course. Fogel's played a little bit. Cassian's played a little bit. McLeod, but they're going to have him as your third line center, I would think, for sure. So
leave the Fogel McLeod line alone, right, with Puljujarvi.
Yeah, they play pretty well.
And then, I mean, not ideal, but just throw Cassian back up there just because. And then have Holloway in your top 6 as well. Then you can either play Draisaitl and McDavid together with Cassian. I think the ideal line mates for Holloway are Nugent, Hopkins, and Hyman. I'm just not sure. I don't like Hyman as much on the right side. So that's maybe not as ideal a fit, but I'd give him one of those top 2 lines to play with.
Ryan Rashog joins us. Were you surprised Brad Malone got the call ahead of Brassard and Shore?
I think they should have started Holloway. I think they should have played Holloway last game, and I said that before last game. So it was a safe play. Coach
More so for the penalty kill, though. Don't you think he's in because of the penalty kill?
Well, what I would say is that one of the benefits of playing Malone is he can kill penalties.
Yes.
And so in that particular game, that decision worked out well because they had so much penalty killing time. He didn't help them much late in the game when they needed a goal. He didn't help the, he was fine. He was decent, and he'll play again today. If you're pulling a penalty killer and Archibald out, you're putting a penalty killer back in Malone. I understand. I still would have played Holloway. And so I was surprised it was Malone ahead of Brassard. I mean, team gave up what? What did they give up for Brassard? Was it a 4th-round pick?
Yeah.
He's basically been, decorative art. I'm a little bit surprised. Shore last year in the playoffs was fairly usable as well. So to put Malone in ahead of those two, but that's Jay Woodcroft going with something familiar, right? and Malone has come through for him already once this year when he brought him in and put him in and played pretty well. So I'm not really criticizing him. I just would have gone with Holloway. The two changes I would have made were Kulak in Nurse's spot, swap those two, and play Dylan Holloway. So he'll do at least one of those things tonight. We'll see about the other one.
Yeah, like obviously game two is a real tough game for Darnell Nurse. You know, game three, obviously that penalty is not one you want to take. There's no question about it. Had the puck deflect off a stick. There's nothing really like that's unlucky more than a bad play. But, yeah, he, you know, game two he didn't play as well as you would like. I don't think there's any question about that. I understand that he's banged up. I totally get it. But I do agree with the thought process that you could go Kulak, Ceci, and Nurse, Barry in kind of easier minutes, and that might actually benefit you.
100%. They should have done that in the second period of game one when Nurse came out and clearly was injured and was clearly being exposed, was being skated around. When has Darnell Nurse ever just skated around? When he was hesitant to go into corners because he wasn't sure he'd be able to engage the right way. When he was playing it safe and backing off. Like, this guy is all about athleticism. And when he starts playing the game, not being able to depend on that athleticism, going to be trouble against this team. So I believe this is a two and a half game oversight by the coaching staff. And I mean, listen, these guys do this for a living. Certainly they've got way more experience than me. This is just one reporter's opinion. They're 2.5 games behind a change that I believe they should have made and that I believe is making a difference on this series. You got to recognize how well Brett Kulak is playing right now and make that switch.
Yeah, Kulak has played quite well. Ron Rashog joins him at Sports Leader TSN 1260. So, Shogger, now you get to the game itself, and the Oilers have to find a way to generate more offense, plain and simple. And, you know, their power play's got to come up and score a big goal here. Like, their penalty kill kept them in the game. Their power play could have won the game, but unfortunately they couldn't get it done. To me, you know, their power play has been a little bit slow, I find. They're not moving the puck like they have, and they're almost – too methodical. What are you seeing right now from their power play?
Well, Drysdale hasn't had the same pop with the one-timer from that spot, so that weapon is diminished. I think that they have been desperate for offense from their power play, so they've gotten a little bit unreasonable with their shifts. Full two-minute power play shifts, starting the first unit even when half the players are exhausted when the power play starts. It's getting sloppy and lazy. Not lazy. It's getting sloppy because guys are getting too deep into shifts on it. I mean, same thing at the end of last game, right? When they were needing a goal, like they were, multiple guys were 2 minutes deep into a shift. And you're talking about injured guys that are having trouble skating in Drysdale. So I think fresher legs on the power play, even if you got to start the second unit for the first 40 seconds, do it. I think I agree with you. They haven't been snapping it around to the same degree. The Colorado Avalanche practice their power play every day. Like, I've been at all the skates, home and on the road, and they work on it every day that they have a full skate. They snap it around and work on it both units at each end of the ice. The Oilers haven't done it once yet on the ice that I've seen. Now, Leon Draisaitl's hurt, and he's not taking these skates.
Yeah.
So they're not working on it. You know, Drysdale's not out there. They're not working on it. So whatever they're doing in the video room. The Avalanche, you know, they work on it every day. It's part of their routine. And so I think the Oilers, it's just getting a little stagnant. And they got guys that are injured limping around out there that the power play is supposed to flow through. And then I'll still point to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins here. Like, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins needs to elevate and meet the moment. He hasn't for two consecutive games, and it's time. They desperately need him more than ever in this game tonight. Not sure what's going on with Hyman. There's been a dip in his play. I'd be shocked if he was healthy. Nugent-Hopkins, I'll point to again and say they desperately need this guy to elevate his game.
Who would you start with McDavid tonight? Like, I expect McDavid to play close to 25, 26 minutes again tonight. I don't see any reason why he won't. But who do you think are going to be his regular line mates?
If I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, I like the idea of playing him separate from Draisaitl still because there were some shifts. Like, did you see that shift where Draisaitl went busting up the left wing and literally walked around the defenseman. That's because that was Johnson and not Makar or Byram. That's not happening to either of those two guys. So to me, McDavid and Draisaitl on separate lines actually elicited some positive results in terms of quality opportunity. I'd still start with them split up. It's hard, though, with you're missing the power that you're missing. So I would probably go like McDavid, Draisaitl, and Cassian, and then I would build a second line involving Holloway, Nugent Hopkins, and Hyman. Keep your third line the same, and then whatever's left over on your fourth line. What is it? Ryan and Malone.
Yeah, well, I think they'll go with I'd be surprised if they went back to 12 forwards tonight.
They'll go 11-7. Chris yeah. Russell was good. There's no yeah. way. I don't think there's any way they go back to 11-7 because, you know, Russell, I thought, gave them good minutes. He gave them some valuable blocks, was part of an important penalty kill, made some good plays. Yeah, I think that makes tons of sense. So Ryan and Malone is your 14th or is your 10th and 11th forwards, and get Dylan Holloway in this game. He's been a top six forward all his life. He's used to playing, you know, 15, 18.
Well, yeah, he's got to play minutes. Like,
get him in there.
Yeah.
In there.
I've always told people, hey, if you would have played him last game and you weren't going to play him a lot, I don't care who you are. It's hard for veterans to contribute in 8 minutes. It's really difficult for a rookie who's never played 8 minutes yeah. a night. Haven't talked to many players. Like, it's just a mental thing to stay in the game when you're sitting on the bench for 10, 15 minutes straight. Like, you've never done that. So it's hard to do. So I think if Holloway plays tonight, then it sounds like he will. You know, I'd expect him to play 12 minutes or something like that, which, unless it becomes like a massive special teams game, right? Because he's not going to, I don't expect him on either. You know, he might get a little time on the second unit, maybe, but, you know, as you said, they haven't done a lot of power play time, so he hasn't really been on it. So, but without Kane, yeah. there is an opening on the second unit for sure. Well, Shagar, we will see. Do you think the Edmonton Oilers extend their season tonight? Do they make it to game five? Just so you know, since 2010, there's been 45 situations of a team down 3-0. The team avoiding the sweep 45% of the time, they've avoided a sweep. So we'll see if the Oilers
do it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be the buzzkill on Edmonton radio that says, no, it's over. Like, I'm not going to do that because really my prediction is as valuable as anybody else. Like, whatever. What I would say is they were close last game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they extend it because they got energy, and we've seen what McDavid does when his life is on the line here. So, you know, I won't be at all surprised if I'm waking up at 4 a.m. to catch a ridiculous early flight tomorrow morning.
It's tough life, Shagar. It's tough life. You get up early, buddy. You get up early. Take one for it. Hey, maybe you'll have a good flight day like Whitney.
Oh, my God. Has anybody rescued him yet? Or is he still
No, he got on a plane. Yeah, he got on a plane. So.
What a mess.
A little melodramatic. I love it. Shagar, have yourself a good one. See you at the rink.
Yeah, see you, pal.